Blog Talk Radio.
And it is a great word this morning. We're talking crucifixion today. We're talking our Savior today on this Mother's Day. What better person to speak about but the greatness of our Savior, who loved us enough to give his life for us. We are blessed beyond measure to be children of the Most High God, who loved us enough to give his son, to give his only son, to send a part of himself, evil world, to save us. Blessed beyond measure. And as I was studying this word, all I could think about was how good God is. And how would I be able to do what he did? Would I be able to give one of my children to an unforgiving, wicked world? I'm not God, and I don't have the strength to have done what he loved me enough to give his son for me. And as we celebrate our mothers today, I want to again shout out my own to my mom, Evelyn. I love you, Mama, more than words could ever say. And I'm grateful and thankful and so blessed to say that you are my mom. And I thank you for the great godmothers that you gave me. I thank you for Lil, who stepped in the gap to allow me to live with her. And I thank you for allowing me to stay. Came back from your vacation, from your trip. And I know you could have said come home, but you didn't. And I thank you for allowing me to have parents. For allowing me to stay with my godparents. I appreciate you. And I appreciate Lil. She was the greatest great-great aunt anyone could ever have. She was my auntie. She was my other mom. And she was one of my best friends. And I miss her very, very much. But I miss you too. And don't be surprised. I'll be coming to visit before you know it. I'm thankful for my other godmother, Mary, who opened her home for me to get married so that my godmother could come, because she had been very ill. I'm thankful for my godmother who opened her doors for me. I'm thankful for my mother-in-law who opened her home for my husband and I when he was working overnight because they didn't want me to be in the wrong neighborhood. I'm thankful that she said to me, "Don't call me Miss Ann, you call me Mama, because you're my daughter too." I am so blessed by the wonderful women in my life, in my lineage, that I can only say thank you, God. I thank God for my Aunt Janet, who has gone on, who was so awesome and easy to talk to and would have you laughing your head off, and one of the best traveling companions you could ever ask for besides your mom. I would never forget our girls' trip, Auntie. And I know that God has got you covered. Just try not to be bossy to folks in heaven, because you don't want Lil and them to get on you because they don't play. I thank God for the wonderful women in my life, for the aunties, for my great-grandmother, my grandmother, all those that have gone before me. I thank God because you molded me into the woman of God that I am today. Not sending me to church, but taking me to church. Always being there for the boo-boos. And not being afraid to bottom and spare the rod. Because you didn't spare it when I needed it. So today I thank God for mothers, all the Nanas, all the Mimis, all the Gigi's, all the grandmas that are out there, for the moms, for mamas, for mommies, for mothers. I thank God for the Mimas. I thank God for all of the awesome, mighty women that birth children, that are staying in for the long haul, raising them to be awesome men and women of God, for the mothers that listen in every day on this blog. But you are special. You are special. And to all the mothers that have gone on to be with the Lord, I thank God for your lives. And I know that you are watching over your children. That you're still, your presence is still there. So Father God in heaven, I thank you this day as we recognize our mothers and those that have gone on before. Ask you, Father God, to continue watching over mothers and grandmothers raising children, and even great-greats, like our great-great raising children. Lord God, you know everything that's going on in this world. And you know that mothers have been under attack for a long time. We ask you, Father God, to lift up the widows and orphans as well. for we know they are special to your heart. Thank you this day that you have made. We rejoice and are glad in it. And Lord, we ask you to continue to increase as we decrease. Lord God, I pray the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. In Jesus' name I pray, believing, trusting, and knowing there is no God like you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father God, for just being mighty and wonderful and being the God of my heart, of my mind, my soul, who knitted me in my mother's womb, who is my Father. I thank you today. Let the words that I speak, Lord God, I pray that you increase as I decrease. Let the words I speak be your words, not mine. Lord God, I thank you for this privilege. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Giving honor to God and shouting out Mother Rita, one of the most wonderful people that you could even ever meet. And I laughed this morning. I had a message from my mom, from my mother. And I had to stop and listen again because she sounded just like Aunt Rita. And it was kind of cute. I was like, oh, my goodness, my mother is sounding like Aunt Rita, Mother Rita, on this message. So I'm keeping the message because I just think it sounded cute. So thank you, Mother Rita, for your dedication and for staying in here with us through the long haul. Appreciate you. Appreciate my sister. Sister Carolyn, if you are on Facebook, family, or follow me on Facebook, please shout out Sister Carolyn, who is a very integral part of our show. Yesterday was her birthday, and so we don't do a blog on Saturdays. So I just wanted to say happy birthday again to Sister Carolyn. I was able to spend time with her and family on yesterday, and it was wonderful. We had a great time of laughter, of love, and of cheer. So shout out to our sister in Christ, whose words just seem to make our day. So thank you, Sister Carolyn, for your words, and happy birthday on yesterday. So again, if you are on Facebook, please shout out Sister Carolyn for her birthday. I'm sure she would totally appreciate it because she's just like that. She is a good friend and an awesome sister in Christ. So thank you again, family, and let's get into our word today. Our Savior died, and he died for me. He died for you. He died for us. And the word that God stuck in my spirit for title this morning is certainly, this was a righteous man. Certainly, this was a righteous man. Jesus was righteous. He was holy. He was magnificent. He was our Savior. And we are blessed beyond measure, his Son, for us. We are blessed beyond measure because God loved us more than we love ourselves. God loves us more than we could ever imagine. I'm going to do something a little different today than I normally would do, and that is we're going to go back a little bit so that we get the entire chapter that we're reading in context. We are going to go back all of the beginning of Luke chapter 23 and Luke chapter 24, what we will be reading today. But before we get into our Luke word, we're going to just hit a couple or three Proverbs this morning. As we read our Psalms and we read 1 Samuel chapter 17 through 18 on Friday. And so Proverbs chapter 15 verse 26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord, but the words of the pure are pleasant." And when I read that, it reminded me of our word today, of the two thieves on the cross with Jesus. One had wicked intents. Oh, save yourself and save us too. Whereas the other one said, we are here because we belong here. He's not. And then Jesus looked at the one that was right and righteous. Even though he was dying for a crime he committed, he said, you will be with me in paradise. The Lord forgives us our sins. He forgives us when we do what we know we should not do. God forgives us. He's a forgiving and loving God, and we are blessed to be his sons and daughters. And our next proverb says this: he who is greedy for gain troubles his own house, but he who hates bribes will live. The heart of the righteous studies how to enter, but the mouth of the wicked pours forth evil. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. The light of the eyes rejoices the heart, and a good report makes the bones healthy. Hallelujah. A good report makes the bones healthy. And I say, don't give up on God, because he will not give up on you. But there is a righteous man, and his name was Jesus. There was a righteous man, and his name was Jesus. And I say it again, there was a righteous man, and his name was Jesus. Proverbs 15:31-33. The ear that hears the rebukes of life will abide among the wise. He who disdains instruction despises his own soul, but he who heeds rebuke gets understanding. The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. We have to be humble. We have to be humble. It's so easy to walk in arrogance, but it's a whole lot harder to be humble. God wants us humble. Humble servants. Are you being humble today? Are you trusting in God today? Think it through and know that he is God, the mighty one, the creator of heaven and earth, and he loves you. Today, I'm coming out of my women's study Bible. And I am still in New King James because that's just my preference. And so I'm going to give some commentary. Today is Mother's Day. I'm coming out of my women's Bible. And this is what it says in the Word of God. And we're going to start back at chapter 1 of the book of Luke, chapter 23, verse 1. Again, Luke chapter 23, verse 1. We're going back and starting at the beginning so we get the whole big picture of the sacrifice of our Savior for us, that we never forget who he was and what he did for us. And it says, then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes. And we all know that's a big lie. Because he said, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar, pay your taxes. Jesus said that. So this is another big lie, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. And he is. Then Pilate asked him, saying, are you the king of the Jews? And he answered him and said, it is as you say. So Pilate said to the chief priests in the crowd, I find no fault in this man. But they were the more fierce, saying, he stirs up the people, teaching throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee to this place. Jesus faces Herod. Then Pilate heard of Galilee, and he asked if the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at that time. Now when Herod saw Jesus, he was exceedingly glad. He was exceedingly glad because he thought he was going to see a show monkey, someone that was going to do tricks and miracles just for him. Wrong. So let's read it and see what it says. But he had desired for a long time to see him because he had heard many things about him, and he hoped to see some miracle done by him. Then he questioned him with many words, but he answered him nothing. And the chief priests and scribes stood and venomously accused him. Then Herod, with his men of war, treated him with contempt and mocked him, arrayed him in a gorgeous robe, and sent him back. Very day, Pilate and Herod became friends with each other, for previously they had been an enmity with each other. Taking the place of Barabbas. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, you have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people, and indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed, nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him, for it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast. And they all cried out at once, saying, away with this man, and release to us Barabbas, who had been thrown into prison for certain rebellion made in the city, murder. Then he said to them Then Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them. But they shouted, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Then he said to them the third time, why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason but death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that he should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will. And I want to say this. This is a prime example of how crowd mentality, how a few people saying certain things can spread. You may have had just the people that worked for the high priest saying, crucify him, crucify him. And then crucify him went to the next person and the next person and the next person and the next person. They didn't have internet. They didn't have Twitter, they didn't have Instagram, they didn't have Facebook. All they had was their voice, and one voice, crucify, crucify, crucify. And before long, the whole entire crowd was screaming, crucify. One voice to create confusion It only takes one person to create big lies and deceit. We have to understand and know who we belong to. Don't fall for the okey-doke of lying men, but stand firm in righteousness. Stand firm in the love of God. And as we continue, the king on a cross. Now, as they led him away, they laid a hold of a certain man, Simon a Cyrene, who was coming from the country, and on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of the people followed him, and women who also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green woods, that what will be done in the dry?" There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. When they had come to the place called Calvary, by him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he is the Christ, the chosen of God." The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, "If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself." And an inscription was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew: "This is the king of the Jews." Then one of the criminals who was hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other, answering, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said to him, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Jesus dies on the cross. Now it was about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And then Jesus had cried out with a loud voice. He said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, "Certainly," and this is our word for today, "this was a righteous man." I'm going to say it again. "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And the whole crowd who came together to that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at a distance watching these things. Understand, Mary Magdalene and all the women, his mother, the mother of Simon Peter, all these women, Joanna, all and weeping. Some felt like they had lost a son, and a mother did lose a son. Mary, the mother of Christ, lost her son for the sins of mankind. Best friends, the one that they loved, the ones whose feet they sat the ones whose feet they wash with their hair and their tears, the one who healed them from the issue of blood, the one that saved their little girl. The mothers were watching that day, whose children had been saved by this man, by that righteous man. The mothers that watched and knew that a mother had lost her son with Mary. And the word tells us Jesus buried in Joseph's tomb. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to their decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock. There no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed afar, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. Now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. Then they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. They did not believe them. Wow. Why? Because they were women. They were women. They were women who, oh, I'm sorry, James, birthed you, but you don't believe them. But Peter arose and ran to the tomb, and stooping down, he saw the linen cloth lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. I don't believe the women. I got to see it. Peter was acting like the doubting Thomas instead of Thomas. I got to see for myself that he has risen, that he is no longer there. I want to see for myself. Let's keep going in this mighty book of Luke chapter 24. It says, "Now, behold, two of them were traveling that same day to the village called Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was while they conversed and reasoned that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. And he said to them, 'What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?' Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, 'Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem? And have you not known the things which happened there in these days?' And he said to them, 'What things?' So they said to him, 'The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty indeed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this, today is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body, said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, "Oh, foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And began at Moses and all, beginning as Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. He had to give them a lesson. Certainly that this was a righteous man. He had to give them a lesson that he was saved and he was a righteous man. And then it goes on to say the disciples' eyes opened. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, "Abide with us. But it is toward evening, and the day is far spent." And he went in to stay with them. I love this part. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, blessed, and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, "Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and why he opened the scriptures to us?" So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, "The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon." And they told about the things that happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Now, as they said these things, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace to you." But they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do you doubt? Why do doubt arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit does not have in bones as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still did not believe for joy and marveled, he said to them, "Have you any food here?" So they gave him a piece of boiled fish and some honeycomb, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Whew. He took it and ate it in their presence. You know, it's so easy to doubt. It's so easy to doubt who he is. But we have to stand on his word. We have to stand on the knowledge that he is certainly a righteous man and that he died for our sins, that he loved us enough to open our hearts, to open our minds, and to open our spirits. And this is what he said. Then he said to them, "These are the words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me." And he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it was necessary for the Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name." Say it again, that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name to all nations, not just the one, not just the two, not just to the ones that speak English, but to all nations. Isn't that what it says in this word? And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And you are witnesses of these things. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. And what is that power? The Holy Spirit, which he has given each and every one of us. All we have to do is ignite it. The Holy Spirit is in you. Let your light shine. Let the light of the Holy Spirit shine in you, for you are children of God. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed beyond measure. We are children of God. And it says this, and he led them out as far as Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. Now it came to pass while he blessed them that he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. What a mighty, mighty word this morning. Hallelujah. Certainly, this was a righteous man. And I have a few life lessons to go over this morning. And then I have some words from my women's study Bible as well. And the words for Luke chapter 7, chapter 23, verse 43 says today, you will be with me in paradise. Two wicked men, one repented and was redeemed and spent that day in paradise with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It says one thief had a change of heart, and this is Dr. Stanley, while on the cross, and Jesus accepted his expression of faith as genuine. Did the thief deserve such mercy? No, none of us do, but the point is that God saved us, not our merit. Grace, that unmerited favor from God. We are blessed beyond measure. Luke chapter 23, verse 55, they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Sometimes people want to discredit the resurrection claim that the disciples went to the wrong tomb, but this verse shows that the women carefully noted which tomb held Jesus' body. These women were not playing. They had an assignment, and they knew exactly where the Savior was laid. Luke chapter 24, verse 16, the eyes were restrained, so they did not know him. In many accounts of the post-resurrection appearances of Jesus, the disciples did not at first recognize the Lord, and it took some real convincing to get the disciples to believe that Jesus really had risen from the dead. Usually it took hearing his voice or seeing him perform some recognizable action to open their eyes. Only after they became convinced of its truth did they become powerhouse witnesses for Christ. Let's call it straight. Thomas wasn't the only doubter in the bunch. He wasn't the only doubter in the bunch. The rest of them was doubting too. The rest of them was feeling sorry for themselves too. But Jesus. Who was, what did it say? a righteous man. He was a righteous man. And no, some say, oh, he was a prophet. He was a son of God. He was more than a prophet. Many of those who believe that Jesus existed, and it's not some fairy tale, as some atheists like to say. I think Ron Reagan even has already condemned himself to hell. I'm not afraid of hell. Okay. Go for it, boo. Go for it. But I am afraid of hell because I know it exists. Just as heaven exists. Can't believe in one thing and not believe in the other. Can't believe in angels and not understand that there are demons out there too. That a third of those demons are fallen angels that chose to follow Lucifer, who we know of as Satan, as the devil, as a fallen God. He thought he could take over because he was good at music. But I understand there's only one God, one Son, one Holy Spirit, and they are one. And they are powerful. Ask the devil. Luke 24:45, it says, he opened their understanding that they might comprehend the scriptures. It always takes God's influence to help us understand and accept the truth of his word. Without spiritual discernment, the things of the Spirit of God are to the natural man. 1 Corinthians 2:14. We have to understand that we trust in the word of God, that we know it is true, that it's not some fake, some phony, some fairy tale. It is not a fairy tale. It is the truth. And we stand on the word of God. We stand on this word. We believe in this word. We trust in the word of God. Luke, written on my heart. And this is from my women's study Bible, and it says this: Luke recognized that the driving force in history, both in the world and in the lives of individual believers, is God's Holy Spirit. The empowerment and direction of the Holy Spirit, evident throughout the Gospel of Luke, is available only in surrendering your life to Christ in repentance and faith. If you already know Jesus as Savior and Lord, prioritize prayer and consistent Bible reading in fellowship with other committed followers of Christ. These disciplines keep you in tune. The discipline of prayer and reading your word. We have to repent. Any sins we have committed in thought, in word, or deed, sins known and unknown, we must repent. Lord God, forgive me for anything that I may have done to hurt anyone, to do anything against your divine majesty. Please forgive me, oh God. Again, these disciplines keep you in tune and with and aware of what the Holy Spirit is doing in and around you. He will also change you from the inside out, making your life look more and more like Jesus. Many of the changes he makes will require uncomfortable, painful decisions. Consider memorizing 9:23, but he promises to be worth any cost, and he keeps his promises. We're going to go to Luke 9:23. And then we're going to wrap it up because we got church to go to. We got mamas to remember. It's a lot going on today. And so we're going to go, please join me again, Luke chapter 9, and we're going to verse 23. And it says this, then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Deny yourself. Take up his cross and follow me. Word in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit. For the Lord loves us more than you can ever imagine. And I love this one last section. And I know that we are about to wrap up. And it says this. It says six major things emerge from the final section. Jesus is fulfillment of scripture. Jesus was made known during fellowship at the table, possibly a reminder of the Last Supper. The reality of Christ's humanity and his bodily resurrection is emphasized. Luke's overall interest in the power of the Holy Spirit is manifested in the prediction of the Spirit's role at Pentecost. All of the resurrection appearances in Luke happened in Jerusalem, and at the time of the disciples' return to the temple, Jerusalem had an important role in God's redemptive plan. Only Luke mentions the ascension of Jesus in Luke chapter 24, verses 50 through 51. And it says this for verses 37 to 43 in Luke chapter 24. The disciples were overwhelmed with the reality of Jesus' resurrection. Jesus proved himself to be alive by showing them his pierced hands and his feet to handle him. Then he asked for food and ate, not because he needed nourishment, but to affirm the reality of his physical presence among them. Luke chapter 24, verses 44 to 53. Luke's concluding verses provide transition to a second volume, the book of Acts. Like Luke then continues his historical record, taking up the book of Acts where the Gospel of Luke ended. So remember, Acts was written by Luke. I've heard those preach, oh no, it was written by Paul. No, it was not. It was written by Luke, because Paul had to have his Damascus moment. And it was written in Acts about that Damascus moment. Understand. All things are for our good because we trust in the Lord. And let's just one more time remember the 10 words to sum up, 10 words or less. Jesus is Savior of all people, whether Jew or Gentile. And that is our word this morning. I thank you. And again, happy Mother's Day to our wonderful and awesome moms. You know, God is doing a new work in all of us. So I thank him for his word. I thank him for all that we have and all that we do. And know that tomorrow we will be starting in a new book. We will be in the book of John. So thank you so much. And again, I'm excited about John because it is a great word. And I thank God for the opportunity to teach and preach his word to each and every one of you. And again, I say to all the moms, happy Mother's Day. And before we get out of here, a word from another mom, our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn. And the word for today is simply this, and it is a prayer over you and yours. And say, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 14. Have a blessed Sunday, mothers. Have a blessed Sunday, family. For we are children of God, and he is, as the word says, Jesus, our Savior, is a righteous man. Thank you so much for listening in. Thank you for your support. And again, to my moms, grandmas, nanas, Gigi's, Mimas, grandmas, grandmommy, grandmamas, all of the above, to all the moms and mamas out there, happy Mother's Day. And may the blood of Jesus cover you from the crowns of your head to the soles of your feet. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In the precious and holy name of our Savior, certainly a righteous man. I say thank you for joining us. Please come back again on tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we continue to study and read the Word of God. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. And remember, as we say every Sunday, find a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church and know that the Lord God is with you wherever you go. Walk in faith. It is a wrap. It's time to get ready for church. I love you all. I thank God for you. Have a wonderful and blessed day. And just one more thing before I get out of here. Shout out to my pastor, Pastor Jesse Herring, on this Mother's Day. You are a wonderful mother. You are a wonderful daughter. You are a wonderful pastor. And I just wanted to say, you are appreciated. Have a blessed day, family. It is a wrap. It's time to what? It's time to go to church. It's time to go to work for God. Have a blessed day. It's a wrap.